Parshas Balak. In Parshas Chukas, we have learned how Moshe Rabbeinu led the Yidden from one victory to the next. First, they won the war over the mighty king Sichon and took his land away from him. And then, over the giant king Og of the land Bashan, and took his land away too. And now, the Yidden are getting closer to the Yarden River, which they will cross over to go straight into Eretz Yisrael. But there was only one more land, which was right between the Yidden and the Yarden, and that was the land Moav. And so, now the Yidden were right outside the land of Moav. But Hashem told Moshe not to make a war on Moav, as he did with Sichon and Og. Why? Well, as you remember, when Avraham Avinu was traveling to Mitzrayim, as we learned in Parshas Lech Lecha, because there was a hunger in the land of Canaan, Avraham Avinu took along with him his wife Sarai and also his nephew Lot. When they arrived at the gates of Mitzrayim, Avraham Avinu said to his wife, "Make believe that you are my sister and not my wife, and like this they will not kill me and take you away from me." Now Lot knew the secret, and yet Lot did not tell anybody this secret, that Sarai was really the wife of Avraham. Now because Lot kept the secret and he did not tell anybody, Hashem gave Lot a reward, that when the Yidden will travel through the Midbar and take over one land after another till they come to Eretz Yisrael, they will not take away the land of Moav, which is from the family of Lot. So that's why, instead of traveling through the land of Moav, they traveled on the side, not entering the land of Moav. But there was one thing that the Yidden were allowed to do. They were allowed to take things away from Moav. They were allowed to enter the land and scare the people of Moav. Hashem just did not want them to take the land away. And because of this, the people of Moav got very frightened, and they did not know what to do, how to protect themselves from the Yidden. Now, even though the people of Moav did know that Hashem did not allow the Yidden to take away their land, but they still were afraid that their country would be robbed, that the Yidden would take everything that they have away from them. They were also worried that the Yidden might wipe out all their other neighbors, all the other Gaiusha countries around them. Then they would really be in danger. And above all, the main thing that Moav was concerned, they hated the Yidden from way back. And now they want to know what to do, how to get rid of the Yidden. So the first thing that they did, they looked around for a new king. And they found someone from the land of Midian. His name was Balak. He was a magician. He was also a great war hero. And that's why they chose him to be their king. Once Balak was appointed as a king, he decided to find out the secret of the Jewish people. How is it that they win one war after another? Since they left Mitzrayim, no one was able to win over the Yidden. Balak thought to himself,
Moshe, their leader, grew up in Midian. Let me send a message to the wise men of Midian and ask them if they know this secret.
And so Balak sent a message to Midian.
The Jewish leader Moshe grew up among you. Can you tell me why is he so successful? Where did he get all his power from?
And they sent back an answer.
His power lies in his mouth.
What did the wise men of Midian mean by this? They meant that davening and learning the Torah is the only weapon of the Yidden. And they advised Balak,
you should choose the very same way to fight them. We advise you to call Bilam, whose power of speech is just as strong as the speech of Moshe.
Yes, Bilam was very famous for a long time already. Everyone knew that he was a great philosopher, and he knew how to explain dreams. He also was a very powerful magician. Kings from all over paid him a lot of money to say curses on their enemies or to say blessings for themselves, and it always worked. Now, Balak himself knew Bilam from quite a while ago, because years back, Bilam once told Balak that he would become a king. And now Balak sees that Bilam's words came true, for Balak became the king of Moab. So he trusted that Bilam will be the best man to do this job, to curse the Yidden and get rid of them. Especially that Balak himself was a great magician. He, more than anybody else, appreciated the great power of magic that Bilam had. Now, what kind of magician was Balak himself? Well, he had a special magical power. In the olden times, there were people, by using the powers of Tuma, would be able to create birds that told them secrets of the future. How did they do this? Well, they used a certain combination of materials. They used gold for its head, silver for the beak, copper for its wings, and so on. And they would put together these parts at certain hours of the day. Then they put into its mouth the tongue of a living bird. Now they took this make-believe bird and put it on the windowsill. They opened up the window that it faced the sun by day and the moon by night. 7 days later, the bird's tongue began to make a tinkling sound. Then the magician would make a hole through the tongue with a golden needle, and the bird began to talk. And do you know, Balak was the biggest expert than anyone else in making this magic bird. In fact, our Chachamim tell us that this is even hinted in the name that the Torah calls him, Balak ben Tzipar. Balak, the one who was able to find out what's going to happen in the future, through a tzipar, the magic bird. And this magic bird even told him secrets that no one else knew. Among other things, it told Balak that first Balak is going to win over the Yidden, but then finally he's going to fall into their hands. One day, Balak was performing his usual ceremonies to make the bird talk, as he was bowing and bringing his different kind of ketaitas, incense, to the bird suddenly flew away. A while later, it came back, and it was followed by a fiery flame that gave a little burn on its tail. This showed Balak that the power of the Shekhinah will finally, at the end, destroy the powers of Tumah. But still, Balak chose to invite Bilam to curse the Yidden. He thought that he still has power over the Yidden. Now, why did Balak need Bilam? If Balak himself was a magician, why couldn't he curse the Jews by himself? Well, what Balak knew was where one is to stand in order to curse someone else. But Bilam knew which were the right words to use in order to curse. So both of them together thought that they will be able to curse the Yidden. But little did they know that Hashem is always protecting the Yidden, and no one can ever curse the Yidden. And not only that, as we're going to see further in the Parsha, that whenever Bilam tried to curse the Yidden, it turned into brachos, into blessings, because Hashem loves the Yidden and protects them at all times. Now when Balak sent for Bilam, he asked that wise men from Midian should join along when they go to get Bilam. Now the truth was that the people of Midian were really enemies of Balak's land, Moav. So how is it that they suddenly decided to join together? Well, this was in order to get rid of the Yidden. They were both ready to make friends, just in order to get rid of the Jewish people. Now when Balak sent the messengers to Bilam, he was afraid that Bilam might say he doesn't want to come because he doesn't have his magic tools with him. So Balak sent along an extra set of tools just in case. The messengers came to the hometown of Bilam. That was the city of Pisar in Aram Naharaim. When they came to Bilam, they said to him, "Balak the king of Moav says, a nation of 600,000 men has escaped from Egypt. Didn't you, Bilam, assure us that you put your magic powers over the borders of Egypt so that the Jews could never leave? Well, they did. And even though they have no king of their own, they have no land, yet they destroyed the mighty giants Sihon and Og. And don't tell us that this should not bother us, because now the Jews are right near our land. We have never seen a stranger people. We cannot see them, because they are hidden and covered by the clouds of glory. But they can see us. I, Balak, ask that you come to help me. This nation does battle with words. You also have the power of words. If you come and curse this people, we will destroy them. I know for sure that your blessings and curses are very strong. For as you remember, you cursed the city of Cheshbon in Moab. And then Sihon, the king of Amori, was able to conquer it. I will give you a great reward, Bilam, if you do this service for me." Now when Bilam heard this, he was very excited. Yes, he himself had his own interest in harming the Yidden. As our Chachamim tell us, Bilam was from Lavan's family. Some Chachamim say that he was the son of Lavan. Other Chachamim say that it was Lavan himself. You remember what we learned in Parshas Vayetze, that Lavan's sons complained that Yaakov robbed Lavan of all of his belongings. And Bilam believed this. And that's why he hated all the Yidden who came from Yaakov. He hated them with all his heart. And that's why, while he was serving as Paro's counselor in Mitzrayim, Bilam is the one who gave the advice to Paro that he should bathe in the blood of Jewish children. He was also the one who gave the advice to Paro to throw the newborn Jewish boys into the Nile. And Bilam hated Moshe more than anyone else, because he felt that he was just as smart as Moshe. But still, Bilam told the messengers, "I cannot give you an answer right now. I will travel with you only if God permits me. I can find out what God wants through my powers of magic. God reveals himself to me only at night. So stay here overnight, and I will give you an answer in the morning." Now, as soon as the wise men of Midian heard what Bilam said, that he will only go if Hashem agrees, they said goodbye to Bilam, and they went back to Midian. Yes, they didn't even have any hope at all that Hashem would allow that the Yidden, who are Hashem's children, should be harmed by Bilam. No father would allow his children to be harmed. That's why they decided that they're going to leave the messengers of Moav, and they're going to go back to their land. But the messengers of Moav remained with Bilam overnight. Now, usually, Bilam was able to receive messages from Hashem through his powers of kishuf, of magic. But now, for the first time, in the schus of the Yidden, Hashem spoke to him with Ruach HaKodesh. Hashem asked Bilam, "Who are these wicked men with you?" Now, this question was really a test for Bilam. He should have answered to Hashem, "Ribbono shel Olam, you know everything. You don't have to ask me who they are." But because Hashem saw that Bilam wants to curse the Yidden, Hashem allowed Bilam to make a mistake, thinking that since Hashem is asking me who they are, that means that Hashem doesn't know always what's going on, so maybe at such a time, my curse can work. So he answered to Hashem, and he said, "Balak ben Zippor, king of Moab, sent them to me to ask me to curse the Jews." Hashem said to him, "You may not go with these men." Bilam thought to himself, "Oh, I know. Hashem really doesn't mind if I curse them. He just doesn't want me, the great tzaddik, to travel to a far country to do such a job." So he asked Hashem, "May I then curse the Jews from here?" "No," answered Hashem. "You may not curse them from anywhere." "If so, let me bless the Jews instead." Bilam thought that if he gives a bracha to the Yidden in the wrong time, it's just like a curse. Hashem answered him, "They do not need your bracha. They have their brachas already from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and I bless them every day when they hear the Birkas Kohanim." When Bilam got up the next morning, he told the messengers Hashem's message, only in part.
instead of admitting that Hashem doesn't allow him to go at all, Bilam said, God does not let me go with you. He meant to say that Hashem does not allow him to go with such simple messengers as they are. He would rather have more important messengers to bring him to Balak. So they went back to Balak and said that Bilam does not want to come along with us. He says we are too simple for him. Balak thought to himself, most probably Bilam doesn't want to come because he doesn't think I'm going to pay him enough. So what did King Balak do? He gathered more important people, great nobles, and he said to them, go tell Bilam, please don't refuse to come. King Balak will pay you much more than before. When they came to Bilam, Bilam then admitted to them. He said, I cannot go against God's commandment. Even if the king Balak will give me all the gold and silver in his treasures, I cannot go against the word of God. Now the truth was that Bilam was just hinting to Balak that what he really wanted to be paid was all the gold and silver of Balak's treasures. Yet, Bilam said to them, stay here overnight. Let me see what else Hashem will say to me. Now, even though Bilam heard from Hashem himself that he has no permission to go, he hoped that maybe Hashem will, after all, allow him to go. When Hashem saw how Bilam wanted to go so much, Hashem agreed, because, as our Chachamim say, every man is led in the path he wishes to go. Hashem said to Bilam, Rasha, do you know why I wanted to hold you back from joining Balak? Because I wanted to save you from death. I don't want to see even the Rasha die. But if you insist on following the road to be destroyed, then go. And our Chachamim say that Hashem also permitted Bilam to go in order that he should later not be able to say, Hashem is afraid of my curses. That's why he doesn't let me curse his people. And so, that night, Hashem said to Bilam, if you insist upon going along with these men, you may. But I give you permission only to go there and to give advice, or something like that. But under no condition may you curse the Yidden. Now, if Bilam would have been honest, he would have told Balak's messengers that he only has permission to go along with them to give advice. But he did not tell them the truth. In fact, he was very happy to hear this answer from Hashem. He thought to himself, just as God changed his mind about my leaving, first he said, don't go, and tonight he says, I could go, maybe he will change his mind about my cursing the Jews. When Hashem saw that Bilam did not go on this trip with the intention of obeying Hashem, but rather to curse the Yidden, Hashem was angry. Now, Bilam, being that he hated the Yidden so much, he got up extra earlier in the morning, and he saddled his donkey all by himself. Usually this job was done by a servant, but since he was so excited to go and harm the Yidden, he saddled the donkey himself. Hashem said to Bilam, Rasha, do you think because you are so devoted to your mission, you will be able to get the powers of Tumah over the Yidden? No, there was another one before you. That is Avraham, the forefather of the Yidden, who also got up extra early in order to serve me. That was when Avram went for the Akedah. He himself saddled his donkey in order to take his son Yitzchak as a sacrifice, because I told him to do so. By doing this, he implanted in all the Yidden such a devotion to Kedusha, to holiness, which is stronger than yours to Tuma. Bilam went on his way, accompanied by two servants, and behind him was following the princes of Moab. In order to warn Bilam that he's going to destroy himself, Hashem sent a malach, an angel of mercy, to block his path. But Bilam just ignored one sign after another. But Bilam's donkey was able to see the angel. And when the donkey saw the angel with his sword drawn, blocking the road, the donkey turned aside off the road into the field. Now, even though this was so unusual, this never happened before, but Bilam just ignored the sign, and he hit the donkey to drive it back onto the road. The Malach again showed himself to the donkey, and this was while Bilam was riding on a very narrow path in a vineyard, which was fenced in on both sides. Now the donkey was afraid of the Malach, so she pressed sideways into the fence, and this crushed Bilam's foot. Yes, this was another sign from Hashem that Bilam should stop. And our Chachamim tell us that this fence was actually a pile of stones which was built up by Lavan and Yaakov, as we have learned at the end of Parshas Vayetze. When Lavan and Yaakov made a peace treaty, they promised to each other that they will never harm each other. And they put up a pile of stones in order to remember this promise. Now that Bilam was on his way to harm the Yidden, that means he's breaking the promise of Lavan, who was his grandfather. Now he is painfully reminded of it. But did Bilam care? No. He hit his donkey once again to show how upset he was and rode further. The Malach then disappeared and showed itself again a third time in a narrow trail from which was no escape to either side. When the donkey saw that she has nowhere to go and she was afraid of the sword in the angel's hand, the only thing the donkey was able to do is to sit down, and that's what she did. She sat down and did not go any further. Now, Bilam knew his donkey very well. Never in his life had he seen it act like this. But Bilam did not care to think that there might be a message from Hashem. No, he only got angrier, and again he hit his donkey. And now a great miracle from Hashem took place. Hashem caused the donkey to begin speaking to Bilam in a language that Bilam was able to understand. The donkey complained to Bilam and said,
"What have I done that I deserve to be beaten three times?"
Bilam calmly answered,
"You have made a fool of me. If only I had a sword in my hand, I would kill you now."
And Bilam began to look for a sword with which to kill the donkey.
"Hey, it seems like you cannot destroy me without a sword. And yet you are on your way to wipe out the Jewish people an entire nation with just words?
And the princes of Mayav that were standing there, they were shocked. They have never seen a man speaking with an animal. And everything the animal says makes sense. They called out and they said, "True! Ha! Look at this man! He wants to destroy an entire people with only words, and now he's searching for a sword to kill his donkey? Ha 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 ha!" You can just imagine how Bilam felt. Then they asked Bilam, "Why do you ride such a donkey that doesn't obey you?"
"Well, she does not belong to me. I borrowed her."
"That's not true,"
called out the donkey.
"I am your donkey."
"Yes, but she is not used to carrying people, just loads."
"No, I am used to your riding me."
Maybe I used you just once."
"Oh no, you always rode me by day, and you used me for your own low purposes by night. Did I ever act in such a way as long as you have known me?"
"You didn't,"
the embarrassed Bilam had to admit. Finally, Hashem opened up Bilam's eyes, and suddenly he noticed the Malach before him, holding out its sword. Bilam understood that now he's being threatened with death. The Malach said to Bilam, "Why did you beat your donkey 3 times? If she wouldn't have turned away from me each time, I would have killed you. And I did not come here to save your donkey. I came here to warn you not to go on with your bad plans. The Jewish people that you want to kill out is so beloved by Hashem that he commanded all the men to come and visit him 3 times a year in the Beis HaMikdash for the Yom Tovim." When Bilam heard this, he was so afraid of his life that he changed his ways and he started to feel sorry. Bilam said,
"I sinned."
He hoped by saying this, the Malach would forgive him and let him stay alive.
"I should have realized from the way things were going on this trip that it was God trying to hold me back from continuing on my trip. Now, if you don't want me to travel further, I will go back home."
But Bilam did not really mean it with his whole heart. He didn't really want to do teshuva. In fact, he still had his bad thoughts in mind to harm the Yidden. And since Hashem saw that Bilam chose the road to his own downfall, Hashem did not stop him any longer. The Malach said to him, "Go then, but you should know that you will only be able to say what I put into your mouth." Bilam rode on happily, hoping that maybe he will be able to change Hashem's mind to let him curse the Yidden. And now Bilam is on his way to Balak. Now Balak gave instructions that when they come close to Mayav, to let the king know that Bilam is coming. When Balak heard that Bilam is arriving, he rode out towards Bilam in order to give him all the honor of a royal reception. When Balak finally saw him, he said, "Why didn't you come immediately when I called for you, Bilam? Did you think I'm not able to give you enough honor?" Bilam explained to Balak, the reason why he didn't go immediately was because Hashem did not allow him to leave. And Bilam said, "Now, too, I have the power to say only those words that God puts into my mouth." Now, Bilam did not give up, neither did Balak. They hoped that Bilam would be able to weaken the Yidden
with his powers of Tumah, and to harm them with an Ayin Hara, with an evil eye, Chas V'Shalom. As Balak and Bilam were riding along the river of Arnon toward the capital city, the king showed Bilam, "Take a look! You see those big strips of land? That's what the Jews had conquered from the kings Sihon and Og. That is land which really belonged to me a while ago. And now they want to take over our country too, I bet." When they came to the capital city, Bilam noticed something very strange. The entire city was packed with people. A lot of activities were going on. What was this for? Well, before Bilam came, King Balak ordered that all markets and large stores, which is outside of Moav, should all come to the capital city. Why? He hoped that when Bilam will see all the life and activity and excitement in the city, and he would see all the people, he would really feel bad for all these people that they should fall into the hands of the Yidden. And when Bilam would see this, Bilam will surely do his most to get rid of the Jewish people. Now, Balak arranged a hotel, a place for Bilam and the princes to stay over. King Balak sent them a meal from his kitchen, but a very small meal. Even though that on that day, Balak slaughtered for his own delicious meal many animals, but for Bilam and the princes, he only sent one single bullock and one sheep. They were both small and very little. Bilam saw this, he got angry, and he swore, "I will teach him a lesson. I'll teach him how to be more generous. Tomorrow, I'm going to order him to build 7 altars, mizbechos, and sacrifice animals on each." The next morning, Balak and Bilam met in order to begin their terrible plans for cursing the Yidden. Now, Balak knew something that Bilam did not know. Although Bilam knew how to curse, but Bilam did not know where is the exact spot to stand to say a curse and that it should work. And Balak did know this. So, Balak took Bilam to a hill from which Bilam would be able to see the Shevet of Dan, the tribe of Dan. They were sent out from the clouds of glory, the Ananei HaKavod, as a punishment for worshipping Getchkes. Bilam was so happy when he saw a tribe that has sinned, because he believed now his curse will work, at least on Shevet Dan. Bilam then said to Balak,
"Build on this place 7 altars, and upon each one we will bring a sacrifice, a bullock and a ram, sacrifices to God."
Yes, Bilam wanted him to build up 7 mizbechos. Bilam hoped that by bringing these karbanes to Hashem, he'll be able to convince Hashem to allow him to curse the Yidden. Bilam said,
"I have built 7 altars, just like the 7 altars built by the great Tzaddikim. Adam,
who brought Karbanis in Gan Eden,
Hevel, Noach, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and Moshe. But their sacrifices, which were accepted by God, came from only one nation, the Jewish people. But my 7 altars, they come from all the 70 nations of the world, and I represent them. By accepting these sacrifices, God will be honored by all the nations.
Bilam then said to Balak,
Stay by the sacrifices while I climb all alone on the top of the mountain. I have to stay there alone and think quietly and privately by myself so that God may speak to me. In the past, he never spoke to me by day, and I'm not sure that he will meet me now.
Bilam walked by himself to the top of the hill, and although his foot was hurting him so much because it was crushed by the donkey, he did not care. He was so anxious to curse the Yidden that it didn't even bother him. Now Hashem revealed himself in the honor of the Yidden. Hashem asked Bilam, Rasha, what are you doing here?
I have arranged 7 altars with sacrifices as a gift to you.
Bilam hoped that he can bribe Hashem by his sacrifices. But Hashem answered him,
I want better a spoonful of flour as a carbon, a sacrifice offered by the Yidden, who come from my beloved Avraham. That is much better to me than the biggest, richest sacrifices of those that I hate.
And now, Bilam, go back to Balak and tell him the words which I have put into your mouth. Bilam went back to Balak and the princes of Moab. He found them still standing by the offering of the sacrifices. Bilam begged Hashem to let him curse the Yidden, but as he was planning and thinking of a curse in his heart, Hashem twisted his tongue, forcing him to pronounce the opposite of what he was thinking. Yes, instead of curses coming out of his mouth, only blessings came out. In fact, from each blessing, you can figure out what kind of curse Bilam had in his mind to give, which Hashem changed over into a blessing. And when the blessings came out from his mouth, Bilam raised his voice as loudly as he could. He hoped that when the Goyish nations hear the praises of the Yidden, they will become jealous, and this will waken up their anger against the Yidden. Bilam began saying like this,
Min Aram Yancheni Valak Melech Mayav. Balak, the king of Moab, has brought me from Aram, Meharede Kedem, from the ancient mountains, saying, Lecha Areli Yaakov, come curse for me, Yaakov, the Yidden, Ulecha Zoyama Yisrael, and come arouse God's anger against Yisrael. Mo ekhoiv loy kaboy kale. How can I curse while God does not curse, but rather he blesses them? Uma es oim loy zo'am Hashem. And how can I arouse Hashem's anger against them if Hashem is not angry? It seems that God blesses the Jews even when they deserve a curse. When their forefather Yaakov tricked his father Yitzchak, snatching the bracha from his older brother Esav, he was not deserving a curse. Instead, he got a blessing. His father said, Gam Baruch Yehiyah, he shall remain blessed.